Okay, Chevra, let's get back into the sugya a teeny bit. If you remember, we saw that the Shar HaTziyun commented that there is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam as to how we understand the term malacha hamiskayemes, no? That Rashi says, kol ha'osa malacha umalachto miskayemes, Rashi writes that we're talking about someone who does malacha on Shabbos. And therefore, we noted that according to Rashi, there's an indefinite amount of time that the malacha has to be miskayem. We don't know what it means. But the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam was of the opinion that even if the malacha is only miskayim on Shabbos itself, that is good enough to be called a malacha hamiskayim. Right? That was what the Shar HaTziyun noted. And then we pointed out that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach questioned the Shar HaTziyun's understanding within the Rambam. That he said, well, maybe according to the Rambam, it's not only Shabbos that's considered the cutoff, and he brought a raya from someone who writes on the hand, etc. And that was one approach. And then we tried to develop our own razzle-dazzle approach, that maybe certain malachos have one definition of miskayim, and other malachos have a different definition of miskayim, and I look at each malacha based on what that malacha is supposed to accomplish in life. Right, so we said that maybe the malach of kosher, tying knots on Shabbos, where the term kesher shel kayama is so prominent, maybe the idea over there is that the malach of kosher is fundamentally a malach of chibur, of attaching two things. And it's not called attaching if I just put it together and pull it apart. Right? Attaching has to have some kiyum. So maybe by kosher, kiyum has a different definition than miskayim would have, say, by kosev, right? We spoke about that Ramah, about opening and closing the books on Shabbos when it says the name of the library on the book. By bonem, maybe there's a different definition. We spoke about the malach of havara. Our approach was that maybe we can't have a global term about what miskayim means. Maybe each malach has to be looked at on its own. Now, a few points to be made about this, and then we got to move on to other gemaras. The Yerushalmi in two different places, on Nun Aleph Amid Beis and Nun Beis Amid Beis in the Yerushalmi. Actually, this is a really good set of Yerushalmi that you have here, because you have like the standard printing of the Yerushalmi, and then you also have like a commentary on the side that's like readable. Yerushalmi is like written in a different language of Aramaic than the standard Bavli Aramaic. If you ever take Richie Steiner's courses in Revel about Targumim, or Professor Bernstein teaches about Targumim and Revel. So there are different dialects of Aramaic. What was that movie with Mel Gibson or something? That like they're speaking Aramaic the whole time. It's about like who killed Jesus. And apparently they're using like totally mixed up different forms of Aramaic, and like the real scholars like pulling out their hair, whatever it is. So the Yerushalmi in two different places comments, has a question about what is kosher in the Mishkan, the Yerushalmi asks. Makshira ha'isav mishkan, meaning Yerushalmi nun alaf amid beis. So the answer is shayu kosher mes ha'mesarim, which is that they would tie the strings onto the curtains in the Mishkan. So the Gemara asks, ay v'lo l'sha'a ha'isa, how could that be kosher? Isn't that kosher l'sha'a? It's temporary kosher. So to this the Gemara has two answers. Reb Yesa Yud Samach He says that mekeman shayuchon v'nosam pi adibor k'mishu olam. They didn't move on their own. When they're tying it, they're thinking that they're tying it permanently. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, Chevra, you got to move, right? That's what the idea of the Mishkan is, so therefore it's considered la'olam. That's Reb Yesa, Yud Samachay. Reb Yoseh, Yud Vav Samachay, disagrees, and he says, Mekevan Shevtich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mekevan Shevtich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Machnisan La'aretz, Kimi Shehu L'sha'a. In other words, according to Reb Yoseh, it is considered l'sha'a. Reb Yesa says that when they tied knots in the Mishkan, they are permanent knots, because they're not going to move until the Ribbono Shel Olam tells them to move. Reb Yoseh says, no. The Ribbono Shel Olam says you're going into Eretz Yisrael, and that means you know for sure you're going to move at some point, so therefore it's considered l'sha'a. So that's the Gemara with respect to kosher. The exact same Gemara appears in the Yerushalmi Nun Beis Amud Beis with respect to Bona. Ma Binyan Haisa B'Mishkan, same thing, Machlokes, Reb Yesa and Reb Yoseh, right? They put Krushim Agabe Adonim, and it's the same Machlokes. Now, the impression that the Yerushalmi has exactly the same Machlokes, word for word, that gives me the impression that Ein Makom L'Chalek between Bona and Kosher, at least. It's exactly the same thing. Even though, Hasvarin Osenas, according to me, that there is great room to be Machalik, that because Kosher is a Malach of Chibur, so therefore, maybe over there, there's one definition of Miskayim, right? L'Sha'a is the opposite of Miskayim, right? But maybe Bona is different. Nonetheless, Yerushalmi seems to equate the two, which seems to be against my approach to life. Yes?
But could it possibly be that Bona is some sort of Chibur also?
Oh. So comes along Sophia, and you say something which is very good. Actually, I think Reb Usher Weiss doesn't say it as good as you just said it, but maybe Bona is also a Malach of Chibur in the sense of Bona means that I am mechaber an item to the ground. Assuming that binyan requires karka, what binyan is I stick it in the ground and it stays in the ground. If binyan is binyan bekalim even, which we'll be discussing at length next week in Mirat Hashem, so it could be, the Lashon HaRambam is, that Bona is I am mechaber various disparate parts and I attach them together. Right? It's not Bona if I just have one thing. That's not Bona. Bona involves putting disparate things and unifying them together. So one could argue that both Bona and Kosher are Meleches Chibur, and therefore the Rishalmi equates them. Okay, so Sophia just defended me. Thank you very much. So our approach that maybe there is room to be Mechalik between this Vatzeh and Kosev still can make sense. Now, if I want to say my Svara, however, we have to take the following kind of leap of faith, or the following journey into the land of Croesus. Okay, it goes like this. Croesus is awesome, no? I think Michal is like, what's on Croesus next year? Right? I know exactly the way you think.
Anything instead of
right? You should know, okay, whatever. If YU, which it is learning Chulin next year, I might be inclined to do Chulin here next year also.
Oh, yeah!
But that's a different thing. Okay? But yeah. Not for now.
Are we going to do El Trefos?
No, we're not doing El Trefos. Thank you. Now, let's just go on. The Gemara says that there's a concept of a carbon chatos. If I violate various and sundry aveiros, I have to bring a carbon called the carbon chatos. Now, there is a concept of chiluk chataos. Chiluk chataos could be in a number of ways. Sometimes I bring more than one chatos. For example, if I violate shemos mechlokin, I bring two or three different chatos. What is shemos mechlokin? Shemos mechlokin means that I violate aveiros that have different names. Right? So if I eat chelav and dam, right, that's aveiros with two different names. I'm chayev two chatos. There's also a concept in Judaism called gufin mechlokin. Gufin mechlokin is that you do the same aveira, but there are different, so to speak, bodies. Right, haba al chamesh nashim nidos. Right, if a fellow has relations with five, again, you forget that it's aser. You have relations with five nidos, so there is chiluk chataos because that is called gufin mechlokin. It's the same aveira, just different bodies. No, that's gufin mechlokin. There's also a concept called tamchuyin mechlokin, which is very debatable among the tanoim. Tamchuyin mechlokin means, let's say, I eat chelev. I have two pots of chelev. One is roasted chelev with vinegar, and the other is chelev that's made with maple syrup and brown sugar. Right? Tamchuyin mechlokin. It's two different pots, two different flavors. So that's also debatable whether that's considered chiluk chataos. So what we have, and we're not going to talk about tamchuyin mechlokin, but in terms of gufin mechlokin and shemos mechlokin, this opens us up to a question. When I am chayif two different chataos on Shabbos, let's say I do both bona and makeh bepatish on the same Shabbos. Right? So I'm chayiv two different chata'os. Now, just word to the wise. I'm only chayiv two different chata'os if I remember that it's Shabbos, I just forget that these things are malachos. There's another possibility that I think it is Wednesday, not Shabbos, and I violate a few averos. In that case, I'm only chayiv one carbon chatos, no? Because I forgot one thing. I forgot that today is Shabbos. But if I remember it's Shabbos, and I forget that bona is usher, I forget that makiv patish is usher, I do bona, makiv patish, right? I have a whole party, and in that case, I'm chayiv two chatos. But why am I chayiv two chatos? We could look at this in two distinct ways. We could say it is called gufin muchlakin. We could say that the two chataos that I'm chayiv for bona and for makiv patish is the same as different bodies. L'mashal, like ba'a chamesh nashim nidos. It's the same aveira, right? It's the same aveira, but there's a different body. One is called the body of makiv patish, the other is the body of bona. Right? That's one way of looking at it. Alternatively, we could look at it in a slightly different way. And we could say that although the Torah writes in one pasuk, lo sasa ko malacha, but that word, lo sasa ko malacha, has 39 different meanings. Lo sasa choresh kotzer, actually choresh and kotzer is different, that's a pasuk. Anyway, lo sasa bone maka patrish osa shtei bate nirin. Right, the Torah has a different title for each of the lametes malachos. So there's a huge machlokas whether malacha on Shabbos, a huge question. The person who made this question famous was Reb Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yikom Damo. Reb Menachem Zemba was a Hasidish posek Rebbe in the town of Praga, which is right outside of Warsaw. If you go straight down Zamenhofer Street and you turn left, you end up in Praga. That was a large Jewish community right outside of Warsaw. Reb Menachem Zemba was killed at the Pesach Seder. He was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, while he was doing a Seder. He was a Jew who seriously breathed Yerushalmis and Erevin. It was like unbelievable. The guy, Mamish, knew everything. He was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham. He wrote a small little book, which I planned on bringing tonight to show you, but I left it in my office by mistake because I was running a little bit late. It's called the Totzos Chaim. The whole book is like 40 pages. The Totzos Chaim is 40 pages. Officially, it's about the Malach of Hotza'ah. Really, it's about all Malachos on Shabbos. And he raises the question whether Malachos on Shabbos are Gufin Muchlaken or Gufin Muchlaken or Shemos Muchlaken. And he says the nafgamina is, let's say I do chatzi shir of bonen, chatzi shir of makib patish. Well, that's not shayach, because by both bonen and makib patish, the shir is a kosher. I do chatzi shir of kosev and chatzi shir of oreg. Are they mitzdarfim? I'm kosev one letter, and I'm oreg one thread. Am I chayiv one chatas, or do I say, no, it's both a chatzi shir. Chatzi shir, you're exempt from all punishments. There's no carbon chatzi shir. So he says, it depends. If you hold that malacha on Shabbos is gufin muchlakin, so then you're going to be chayiv. You did a chatzi shir of the same thing, just in two different places. But if it's shemos muchlakin, if it's like the Torah says, don't do kosev, don't do oreg, so then the two won't be mitzdarev, right? The chatzi shir of kosev won't be mitzdarev to the chatzi shir of oreg. This is Reb Menachem Zemba's famous chakira. And he points out, that, and I gave you some of the sources over here, that this is a contradiction in Rashi's, no? Rashi in Shabbos on Ayin Beis Amid Beis. Here, you could turn there if you want. So Rashi in Ayin Beis Amid Beis. Chel of Adam, right. Where is that Rashi? Just...
it's like the top three.
Top three.
The bottom of the top three.
I'm not sure what that means even. Where is it?
12 lines from the beginning of Rashi.
12 lines from the beginning of Rashi. 1, 2, 3, 4. Chel of Adam, right. Zakt Rashi. Right? In other words, the Gemara says, I'm chayiv two different chata'os by a case of chil v'dam. So Rashi says, it's dumya detchino ketzira shem shnei gufen. Right? That Rashi is very, like, head-scratching. Because I would have assumed that chil v'dam is two different shemos. Rashi says, yeah, I'm chayiv two chata'os on techina and ketzira, because it's two gufen, and just like chil v'dam, which is two shemos yachayiv. Right, that Rashi's head-scratching, but nonetheless, what Rashi's telling me is that melachos on Shabbos are considered gufin muchlaken, shnei gufin. That's what Rashi says. Right? Rashi in Sanhedrin and Samach Beis Amid Beis, however, writes that melachos on Shabbos are considered shemos muchlaken. The Tosfos writ, the Yeshaya of Tirani.
Where does Rashi say
what? There's a
Rashi. The
Rashi says that Shemos Mechok is in Sanhedrin Samach Beis Amid Beis Dibur Hamaschil Ketzira. Tosfos Rid on Kuf Lamid Ches. Right, the Gemara has a Shaila. Mishamer Mishum Mai Masrinan Bei. Let's say someone is about to use a strainer on Shabbos. What Malacha do you give the guy a Hasra'a for? Do you assume, right, that it is borer or is it merakeid? Right, there are two different malachos, borer and merakeid. The Gemara has a shayla, mishamer mishum mai masrinan bei. Is it borer or merakeid? Come or merakeid? Comes on the Tosfos Rid. He writes, peirush kevan de havara lechalek yatsasa ki iluk siv lav akol malacha umalacha dami. Vahavalahu kamo chel v'dam shehem chalukim zemizeh. So the Tosfos Rid writes on Kuf Lamed Ches that it is considered Shemos Muchlakim. That Malach on Shabbos, right, he says that's like Chelav and Dam, which are different Isurim. Right? Chelav and Dam are different Shemos, they're different names of the Isur. That's what the Tosfos Rid writes. However, Rebbe Menachem Zemba says, hey dude, you gotta read the Tosfos Rid carefully. The Tosfos Rid writes that Kevon de Havara Lechalek Yatsasa. Hey, what does he mean with that? So turn in the Gemara to Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. Ayin Amud Aleph, it's around 8 lines from the top, there's a 2 dots. Chayev al kol malacha malacha. Right? The Mishnah says, I'm chayev on every malacha that I do on Shabbos. Again, providing that I remember it's Shabbos, but I happen to do all the malachos. By the way, it takes a lot of talent to violate Yechayev 39 chatos on one Shabbos. No? Do not try this at home.
Challenge accepted?
No, please don't. Really, I would burn if I give you that challenge. As would you. Chiluk malachos. Right? So the Gemara says, Chayvaka malacha malacha, zakling ba chiluk malachos minolan. How do you know that there is chiluk malachos on Shabbos? How do you know that on Shabbos, if I violate 39 malachos, I am chayiv 39 different carbon chata'os? So Amar Shmo, Amar Kra, Michalaleha, Mos Yumas, Hator Ripsa, Misos Harbe. Right? Shmo derives this from the words Mos Yumas. The Torah says, most you must, it sounds like you will certainly die, which the Gemara over here understands mean, die, you will die, meaning you will die more than once. Right? So then the Gemara asks, one second, hi, b'mezik siv. What do you mean? Mechala, most you must, that's talking about b'mezim and get put to death? It's like the man, no. Im eino ingin l'mezik d'chsiv, ka osa malacha, you must, neyo ingin l'shogeg. The Gemara says, no, if it means b'mezid, where they put you to death, remember, if I violate a malacha on Shabbos, b'mezid, I get skila. Don't try it, right? If I violate b'shogeg, I'm chayiv a carbon chatos. Says the Gemara, most you must. Isn't that talking about mezid? So the Gemara answers, no, mezid I have a different pasuk for. Kala osa malacha, you must. So, therefore, the pasuk on mechala, most you must, is talking about shogeg. I, umay, you must. So what does it mean that you're going to die? If it's shogeg, you don't die. You just chayiv a carbon. Zok the Gemara, you must be mamon. No? This is, how many of you are in Sims? Right? You must be mamon. Death means you lose. Death means you lose money. When you chayiv many different carbonos, chatas, you're losing lots of money. So yumas bimamon, no? That's what the Gemara says. Death means money. So the first source of chiluk malachos is mechalaha mos yumas. So frek the Gemara, v'tepikle chiluk malachos mehecha denafkele l'rib nosin. Why don't you learn chiluk malachos from where Rib Nosson says it? D'tanya, Rib Nosson Omer. Okay, the Torah just says don't do malach on Shabbos. But there is actually an exception in the Pasuk. The Torah writes, L'tivaru esh b'chom moshvoseichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. That's in Parashas Vayakel, no? Torah at the beginning of Vayakel writes, don't make fires on Shabbos. Why does the Torah specify not making fires? So the Zohar writes that the Isser to make fires on Shabbos is a special Isser not to have machlokas on Shabbos. On Shabbos you're supposed to get along, no? Even if you hate each other all week long, Shabbos is a time that you have to get along. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Zohar, no? That's lo sevaru eish. Eish means the fire of machlokas. But Reb Nosson doesn't learn the Zohar. So Reb Nosson asks, why does the Torah say lo sevaru eish b'chom moshu yisechem yom Shabbos? So he says, "Ma tam lama fish, and vayakom moshes kadas b'nei Yisrael ela advarim sheisim tasa malacha devarim hadvarim ela hadvarim teaches me 39 malachos which are never l'moshe b'sinai yachol asan kulam behelam achas in l'chay balachas tam lama becharish because of tishbos vaydain on the omer harisha v'aktsir chayiv shtam al kulam in l'chay balachas tam lama lo sevaru eish havar bechal haisa v'lama yotzas a hakir shila havalom malacha." Okay, so basically what the Gemara is saying, and I just gave you a whole mouthful, is the Gemara says havara lo sevar ish b'chol moshe sechem b'yom Shabbos is l'chalek yotzasa. The fact that the Torah specifies the malacha of havara teaches me chiluk malachos. The only reason why the Torah has to go out of its way to say don't make fires on Shabbos is in order to teach me that just like fire is a malacha on Shabbos, and I'm going to be chayav a karmen chatas independently for fire, so also all malachos on Shabbos, I'm chayav a karmen chatas on them independently, which we call lechalek yatzasa. So Reb Nosson learns, lo tevara eish, lechalek. Right? But Reb Yossi, that's found in this Gemara, Reb Yossi says that no. Havara is not lechalek yatzasa, Havara is l'lav yotzasa, meaning that all other malachas on Shabbos, if I violate them, I get put to death, and I'm chayiv a korban. Havara, the fact that the Torah says lo sevaru eish, means that havara is more mekel than all the other malachos, and it's only a lav. I only get malchus if I violate it. I get whipped. Right? It's still not so good. Don't try it, but it's better than dying. Right? So the Gemara says that effectively, right, and you keep on going in the Gemara, according to Reb Yossi, he derives chiluk malachos from va'asa me'achas, mehena achas, me'achas, hena, mehena. He uses that pasuk to tell me chiluk malachos. So let's just review, okay? We just did all of daf ayin amar aleph faster than daf yomi even. But the Gemara has three possibilities as to how I know chiluk malachos. Either mechalalaha mos yumas, right, and it means misa b'mamon, karben chatas, or havara l'chalek yatzasa, that's Reb Nosson, or according to Reb Yossi, I know chiluk malachos from achas mehena, achas meachas, hena mehena. Right, that's what the Gemara says, three possibilities. Pause. Says Reb Menachem Zemba, now let's go back to the Taisus Rid. Tosis Rid, if you remember, says that chiluk malachos on Shabbos is fundamentally shemos mechlokem. It's separate averos, no? But the way the Tosis Rid says it is kevon dehavara lechalek yatzasa. Comes along with Menachem Zemba and he says, this is beautiful. If you learn chiluk malachos from mechalalah mos yumas, you're saying that you should definitely die. So that just means you bring lots of karbanos. If you learn from achas mehena, also it just means you bring lots of karbanos. But if I learn from havara lechalek yotzasa, that's telling me that havara is different than all other malachos to teach me lechalek. In other words, there's a special shame. There's a different name on each of the malachos. Havara, the malacha of havara, teaches me lechalek. That teaches me that kosei b'schay v'chatos, oreg b'schay v'chatos, etc. What Menachem Zemba is arguing is that the correct reading of this Tosfos Rid is only according to the opinion that havara l'chalek yatzisa. Only according to that opinion do we have to say, or can we say, that it's shemos muchlakin. According to all other opinions, it might be goofin muchlakin. So far, so good, ladies? It makes a little bit of sense, no? Makes some sense. Now, based on this, Menachem's...
What does the Tosfos word say?
Tosfos is here. The top on Kuf Lamed Ches, on this column, right. Yeah, that's it. We still have like half an hour. We're doing good.
I'm still confused.
Okay, so Tosfos Rid writes... Again, the Gemara has a question. Mishame, or if I use like a sifter on Shabbos, is that borer or is it meraki? Right? What hasra do I give? Mishum mai masminan bay. So Tosfos Rid writes that since havara lechalek yatzasa, right? That's how he begins. Since kevon de havara lechalek yatzasa, so therefore we want to know what is the name of the malacha that I violate. Right? Meaning, he's assuming that it is Shemos Mechlakim. Each malacha has a different name. It's as if Hashem writes in the Torah, don't do Kosev, don't do Oreg, each one has a separate name. But the Tosfos Rid only says that according to the opinion that Havara is Lechalek Yatzisa. Meaning, says the says Rebbe Nachum Zemba, right? Rebbe Nachum Zemba says, if that's the case, so we could say that according to the other opinions in the Gemara Daf Ayin Amar Aleph, the opinion that learns from Mechalalah Hamos Yumos, or the opinion that learns from Achas Mehena, so we're not saying that it is a different name of the Avera. It could be then it's like Gufin Mukhlakin rather than Shemos Mukhlakin.
So he's only working under the opinion of Rabbi Nosson.
Only the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. He's just reading the words. The Tosfos Rid begins by saying Kevon de lechalek yatzasa or something, right? I don't remember exactly his lashon, but you have it in front of you.
Why doesn't that also refer to your skin? If you say lav yatzasa, can that also mean shemot?
So I don't think so. This lav yatzasa is a fancy way of saying that havara is not a malacha at all. So havara is not a malacha. Havara has its own name, but all the other things which are malachos might be gufen muflakim. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Now here comes the kicker. It seems to me that the mahalach that I like, that there's a different definition of miskayim by different malachos, only makes sense if you hold it. Before I get there, Rabbi Nachum Zemba himself says, there's a steer in Rashi's. Right, Rashi and Sanhedrin says it's Shemos Mechlakin, Rashi and Shabbos says it's Gufin Mechlakin. So Menachem Zemba answers, it's not really a stira, there are different names, you have to play the name game. Right, you look at the Gemara there in Shabbos Daf Ayin, Shmuel, right, Reb Yossi, different names, so you could kind of mix it around, play the name game. That answers the questions. Wonderful. It seems to me that this question... the way we are saying that different malachos have a different definition of miskayim, that only makes sense if I am coming from a shemos mechlakin perspective. If I'm assuming that fundamentally kosev is different than oreg, so then I could say, there's a different definition of miskayim by kosev and by oreg. Hashem writes, right? It's like Achas Dibir Elokim Shtayim Zushamati. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam could say one thing, and like you hear many different things, right? That's what Rashi quotes in Parashas Yisrael. That Aseres Hadibros, the Ribbono Shel Olam said one, right? Masha Ein Haozen Yachol Lishmoa. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam said all Aseres Hadibros together, and that's what Los Asakol Malacha means. Hashem says Los Asakol Malacha, and has 39 different meanings. Kol Sevore, boom, boom, boom. If that's the case, I could say, oh, so Hashem said 39 different things, and each one has a different definition of miskayim. However, if I take the approach, that malachos and Shabbos are fundamentally gufin muchlokin, so it's much harder to say that there's a different definition of miskayim by different malachos.
I have a question. But why can't it, like, every malacha has different rules to it, so even if they are,
so,
like,
okay.
What about
shiur?
What?
Like shiur. So shiurim. Right? Shiurim, generally speaking, shiurim should be all the... Shiurim by all malachos. And we'll talk about this in the Tosfos on the next little Tosfos that we have to do. On the Tosfos, kol shehu l'may chazi. Shiurim just means... Shiurim is just a way of saying that this is a significant act. This act accomplishes something. That's what shiurim means. So you're right. Chutzah, right? Every malacha, the Hashem says, all malachos are the same. But I'm only chayiv if I do a significant act. But the definition of miskayim, l'cha'ora, isn't about how significant the act is. It's how long-lasting it is. And if I take a goof and muchlakin perspective, so then Hashem probably says, don't do malacha. And malacha means something that's miskayim. And how much is miskayim? Pick one. But if I want to pick 39, where there are different definitions of miskayim, that only makes sense if I am coming from a shemos muchlakin perspective. I saw this idea kind of, sort of, a little bit in one of my rebbeim in high school. Rabbi Moshe Brown has a sefer on the malachos of Shabbos called the Tevas Moshe. He alludes to this idea. I'm saying it a little differently than he says it, or I'm applying it in a different way. He doesn't say it by the definition of miskayim, but nearly that this is part of the conversation about miskayim. Sounds good, ladies and gentlemen? Ladies, sounds good? Gotta correct myself. Okay, let's go back there for a minute. I want to just make two more ha'aros. If you remember, we spoke about that Yerushalmi, about Binyan L'sha'a, right? Right? Do I assume that since Klaisa is going to enter Eretz Yisrael, it's by definition L'sha'a? Do I say that, no, api Hashem yachanu, so it's la'olam, and we don't know they're going to move? Ritva. Yeah, you can find it on your phones, but I'm just going to steal the book because it's easier for me. The Ritva in our Mishnah, Zahaklal, kala osa malacha malachto miskayemes b'shabes. Ritva quotes Rashi, that kala osa b'shabes malacha is going a'osa malacha kai. As if it says ha'osa malacha b'shabes u'malachto miskayemes, right? That the malachas be miskayim, and then he writes v'yesha pirshu d'hachi ka'amar. The Ritva sounds like he's disagreeing with Rashi. According to Rashi, the malacha has to be miskayim an indefinite amount of time, like we said. The Ritva says I disagree. Da'afilu ein malach to ela l'sha'a she'eno binyan kayam ela l'bo bayom belvad chayev. The Ritva writes that the pshat in our Mishnah is that binyan l'sha'a is binyan, and kala osa malacha u'malachto miskayemes b'shabes means that the malacha only lasts on Shabbos. But it sounds like he's saying this is true only in binyan, because bona l'sha'a is binyan, like that Yerushalmi on Nun Beis or Mid Beis.
It only lasts on Shabbat? What?
If it only lasts on Shabbat.
If it only lasts on Shabbat.
It doesn't have to last 1 day, 2 days, 8 days. Again, we still have our suffix about, let's say, you do it late in the day on Shabbos. I don't know the answer to that. But at the same time, binyan l'sha'a is binyan. That's what the Ritva writes. Now, this was very nogea l'maisa around 200 years ago. Just to give you a brief Halachic overview. There was a Jew called the Noda B'Yehuda, Rabbi Chesko Landos, chief rabbi in Prague. Noda B'Yehuda Madura Tinyana Simon Lamed. Noda B'Yehuda writes that opening an umbrella on Shabbos is an Isser Skila. Don't do that. Okay? If you open an umbrella on Shabbos, it's like really, really, really bad. You're Chayiv Skila. Why am I Chayiv Skila? Well, he proves from a riff that, like, when you have things that are supported on their own, right, that's the real malacha of bona min hatayra, right? It's only bona midrabanan if I have to prop it up. But if it's supported by itself, that's bona min hatayra. Since umbrellas support themselves on, like, they have, like, metal bars. People know what an umbrella is? Okay? Good? So you have the metal bars and they hold the cloth. Bona min hatayra, says the Nodav Yehuda, your mamish, mamish chayiv. Nothing to talk about, really, really bad. Comes along the Chsam Sofer in the Tshuva Simin Ayin Beis. And the Chsam Sofer writes there in, Chsam Sofer writes in Simin Ayin Beis that in his opinion, although you should not open umbrellas on Shabbos, but the Dear Noda B'Yehuda is like totally wrong. V'achar ha'iyon hadei ketev, after looking into it very well, Omer ani b'vaday lisa parasol b'shabbos. A parasol is an umbrella. In which language?
German.
No, something European.
It's something. Right? A parasol is...
Yeah, it's like a fancy little umbrella.
It's funny, the Mishnah Brura, when he discusses this Noda B'Yehuda, it's in Simin Shin Tes Vav, Se'if Tes in the Bir Halacha, so Mishnah Brura says, Lisa ha-umbrella, shehu ha-parasol. Like, hey, dude, you know, like, I know what an umbrella is much more than I know what a parasol is. Right? Whatever, that's the way he writes it. So the Chsam Sofer writes in Simin Ayin Beis, with respect to opening an umbrella on Shabbos, lav mishnas chasidim hu, v'shomer narsho yirchak mimenu, basically, avoid it, aval mikom makom, lefi ani esteti, einenu kimo shechashav hagoin bal noda b'Yehuda, that it's a da'iraisa. He says, it can't be da'iraisa, because the Yerushalmi discusses binyan l'sha'a, and the Yerushalmi has a machlokas, whether binyan l'sha is binyan or not. And says the Chsam Sofer, I have a raya from a Bavli on Daf Lamed Aleph. The details I don't want to burden you with now, although it's very good. Read the Chsam Sofer over Shabbos, Simin Ayin Beis. You'll have a lot of fun. The Chsam Sofer says, I have a raya from the Bavli on Daf Lamed Aleph that Al Pi Hashem Yachanu does not make it permanent. It's still considered l'sha'a. And therefore, binyan l'sha'a is not chayiv, says the Chsam Sofer. Halacha l'maisa. And you're not going to be chayiv if you open an umbrella on Shabbos.
Is there ever a thing of, like, don't open it because it might break?
I feel like that's what I always
do. I don't know.
Wait, can I...
By the way, we're talking about a community where there's an Eruv.
I was always
right? So, ohel is a razzle-dazzle fancy way of saying bona. What's the Isser of Ohel Bona? Right?
Does that apply to, like camp chairs?
Camp chairs. What are camp chairs? Like the big umbrellas that are attached to the ground?
No, like the chair that you fold up and then you put them down.
Right, so a lawn chair to open it up or something, a folding chair, that the post can say is Heter Gomer. It's meant to be opened and closed.
Even if it's like
an umbrella.
What?
So is an umbrella.
So is an umbrella! Excellent Kasha! Right? The Noda B'Yehuda says umbrellas are really, really bad. And the Chsam Sofer says, nah, it's binyan l'sha'a, and he thinks an opening umbrella is actually mutter on Shabbos, me'ikar hadin, but don't do it. But don't do it. He has three reasons why he thinks it's mutter. The Bir Halacha, for some weird reason, only quotes the Noda B'Yehuda, does not quote the Chsam Sofer. In some of the Hilchos Shabbos English books, look in Rabbi Ribi at page 1079, 1080, he says there's a long-standing Jewish practice not to open umbrellas on Shabbos, even though it might be permitted. Do not take this prohibition in a trite sort of way. He has like some expression like that. Like, take it very seriously. Right? But the Chassam Sofer basically is maintaining, let me just finish two sentences, I'll take your question, Michal. Chassam Sofer is maintaining that opening umbrellas is mutter because it's binyan l'sha'a, and binyan l'sha'a is not binyan. However, right, the Ritva on our daf is saying that no siri, our Mishnah is really holding that binyan l'sha'a is binyan. Right? That's the way the Ritva learns, which would be exactly the opposite of Chassam Sofer. Yeah, one second. Michal's been waiting very patiently.
Yeah, I don't understand Chassam Sofer's like Raya from the Yerushalmi, that even the one that's the Olam actually is Lashah. Is that what we're saying?
In other words, there's a machlekes in the Yerushalmi whether Binyan is considered, whether Binyan La'olam only is Gaev or even Binyan Lashah. Right? The opinion that says Binyan is going to be considered olam, which in that's chayiv, is based on the pasuk al pi Hashem yachanu. That's considered olam, so therefore when I do it, I intend it to be permanent. The other opinion says that no, since Hashem promised that we're going to Eretz Yisrael, it's considered l'shava. Now, the Chassam Sofer brings a raya that the fact that the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph uses the expression of al pi Hashem, uses that pasuk of al pi Hashem yachanu, and even so, it is considered l'sha'a. So that means that...
Wait,
did we say that it's considered l'olam? What? The Yerushalmi was saying that Pi Hashem Yachanu means it's l'olam. It says l'chsam sefer, I see from the Gemara in... on Daf Lamed Aleph, right? That we really paskin that binyan l'sha'a is putter. Because the Gemara uses the pasuk for something different, whatever. Right? That's the point that I sort of skimmed over. I didn't get into it because I think it will complicate matters too much. But effectively, the Chassam Sofer paskins that binyan l'sha'a is not binyan. And that's why the Chassam Sofer is lenient on the parasel. Yeah.
Wait, so it's like how much time exactly are we saying like binyan l'sha'a
counts? Anything. I open an umbrella.
Anything is not forever.
When no, well, again, like, at some point, okay, so I'll say it like this. Being in l'sha'a, the lower end is even a second. The upper end, at what point it becomes being in kavua, becomes permanent, we're not sure. That's what we said, like the Rashi is a little bit indefinite. We don't know. I don't know.
But who are we talking about, like, in regards to other things,
Again, most poskim I think assume. Again, the Noid Yehuda passings that being l'sha'a is binyan, the Chassam Sofer passings that being l'sha'a is not binyan. Halacha l'maisa, you know, we seem to be chushesh for the Noid Yehuda, although, again, look at that beer halacha, Shin Tes Vav Se'if Ches. Dibraham Asko Tefach. Al Derech Nesias Umbrello. Shakurin Parasel. Right?
That's what about Legos?
So what about, let's say, a baby carriage, and there's an awning on top of it. Right? There's a shlak on top of the sukkah. There's stuff like this. So, again, there is a din called being Moisif Al Habinyan, which is permitted. If I already... The minimum for a... Ohel again is a subset of binyan. That's what Adina pointed out a few minutes ago. The minimum for binyan by an ohel is if it's a tefach. If it's already spread out, it's not a koshu, a tefach. If I already have one tefach that's spread out, tefach, let's say, is 3.5 inches. Right? If I already have a tefach that's spread out, so then I'm allowed to be mosif on it. So if you have a shlak on the sukkah, make sure that you always have like one tefach that's being covered, and then you're allowed to expand it. If you have a baby carriage hood, right? Baby carriage hood l'cha'ur is exactly the same as an umbrella, right? So again, the ikar hadin, right? The chassam sofer is probably correct, and you're allowed to open it. Nonetheless, the minig is not to. So you should leave your baby carriage hood at least with 3 inches that is covered, and then you're allowed to extend it. It usually is always like that because the way these things fold up, no. You're just going to have a couple of inches that is covered. It doesn't completely close. I mean, my youngest is like 7, so it's been a while since I did this, but yeah.
Is the problem here the frame? Like, what if it was more just like a cloth situation.
So just holding a cloth, the Chazanish writes that there's zero issets, let's say, hold the talus on top of people. Like Chosin Torah, Chosin Bereshis, and Simchas Torah. Everyone holds the talus.
Even if there was poles like a chuppah?
So if there's poles, it becomes more of an issue. But if I'm just holding it with my hands, the Chazan is right, it's Heter Gomer. If it's on poles, that's more of a question, right? Again, the...
so many shuls do it.
What?
I feel like there are a lot of online...
They do it on poles, yeah.
Really? I've seen people hold them on.
Where they have, like, a huge talus.
Yeah, they have like the Kol HaNa'arim talus that like everyone. It's like shtick.
It's so beautiful.
It's shtick. Now, beautiful and shtick don't contradict each other. Like you can be both. Huh? So, okay. So these are like the basic points that we wanted to make in terms of Miskayim. And in terms of Binyan L'sha'a, all these issues are related. We got a few more minutes. Let's do the next Gemara. Then the Gemara asks, Koshu hu l'may chazya. Bona, you can be chayv with the koshu. The Gemara asks, what can you do with the koshu? Koshu l'may chazya. What can you do with it? Tosis notes, Dav gahacha itzrich l'frushe, they have a kavosid mishkan. Right? Over here, the Gemara says, what can you do with the koshu? Then the Gemara says, well, where did they do the same thing in the Mishkan? Right? By all malachos, Tosis is bothered, I don't need the shiur to be in the Mishkan. I need to have the malacha in the Mishkan. The shiur of the malacha doesn't have to be found in the Mishkan. How come over here we mention that the shiur has to be in the Mishkan? So Tosis says, because bona kosho doesn't sound like you're doing anything. You make a tiny little binyan, it's a garnished, it's nothing. So that's why we have to... find a source in the Mishkan where there had a binyan l'kosho. Okay. So let's just go through the Gemara quickly. Kosho l'may chazya, what can you do with the kosho? So the Gemara has three approaches. Amr b'yirmiya, shekein ani chofer guma l'hatzniya b'prutosav. A poor person has like a couple of pennies, and the poor person will dig a small hole to hide her pennies in that hole. Right? L'hatzniya b'prutosav. Right? D'kavasa gabi Mishkan. She came tofer yirios chofer guma latzniya b'machtehen. Right, the kosher who is that you're sewing stuff in the Mishkan, so you'll dig a tiny hole to hide your needle in that hole. Correctly, Gemara, no one in their right mind would do that. Right? Abai Amar came to Mishtakhi lo avdi hachi. If you stick it in the ground, it will get rusty. No, you ever left a needle on the ground for a long time? I also haven't, but apparently it will get all yuckety. So, therefore, that can't be the pshat. Ella, shekein ani osa pitvute kira kitana lishbos alaha kedera kitana. And ani is going to make a tiny little oven to put his own tiny little or her own tiny little pot. You're poor, so you don't have that much food to eat. So you have a tiny oven, a tiny pot. And the way you make your tiny oven is you stick legs into the oven, like you stoop the legs in, and that's binyin koshehu. The Kavasagav Mishkan Mivashle Samonim Litzbaya Yirios Shechosr Malachdon Osem Pitpute Kiriktan Lishbos Aloha Yorikitana. The same thing you'd have in the Mishkan, that you have to dye curtains, so you would make a tiny little stove in order to heat up the dye in order to dye the curtain. So the Gemara asks, 1 second, Einanias Bimbakya Mashiris. In the Mishkan, they're not going to use a tiny little stove. Because it's the Mishkan, there's Ashiras, right? Ain't on this, welcome Ashiras. You'll make a big fire. You won't make a tiny little one. Question, although I'm blanking on your name.
Oh, Talia.
That's Talia.
Yeah. What in this case, what are you making? You're making the legs, you're making the stove, you're making the fire.
So I think they are making the stove, and they stoop the legs into, like, they stick the legs into that bomb stove thing. It's like a tripod to hold up the
so
stove.
That's the bona part.
That's the bona part. The right, sticking the legs in.
What they're equating it to in the Mishkan isn't bona.
No, in the Mishkan also they had to make a stove.
To make the pots, but for the sewing, to hide your needle, that's considered.
That's considered bona because they're digging a hole in the ground and they're making a. It's like building a closet. They're building a hole in the ground. It's like the needle's own closet. Okay. Right? So approach one is the hole on the ground to hide a needle or to hide coins. Approach two is that they stick the legs into the tiny little stove to heat up whatever they're heating. The Gemara says both approaches are rejected. Rather, Ella Shekane Balabayas Osa Sheyishal Nekev B'Biraso V'Sosmo. Right? If I have a little hole in my wall, so I'm going to take a bit of plaster and smooth it over, right? So I don't have that hole in the wall. So that's Bona. Tekavasaga B'Mishkan Shekane Keresh Shenoflo Bondarina Meitif Latocha Eiver V'Sosmo. If I have a beam, one of the crushing from the Mishkan, and they get like a wormhole in the beam. So what you would do is you put lead into that wormhole, and that would stuff it up, that would cover up the hole. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so ultimately, the maskana of the Gemara is that the source of Bona Koshehu is from the keresh that has its hole in it, that you stick it up, you put lead in it. Similarly, when your house has a hole in it, you cover it up. That's what the Gemara says. Now, l'cha'ora, what would emerge from the Gemara, pardon me, is that not all types of bone kol shehu are chayiv. Because the Gemara says only the bone kol shehu of the hole that develops in your wall. Only that's chayiv. The other ones, it seems like you're not chayiv. Nonetheless, the Rambam, when he paskins this din in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam writes all bona kosher who is chayiv. And probably what the Rambam means is that the Gemara is just looking for a source. But once I have the source, any bona kosher is chayiv. That's like not so exciting. But what's a little more exciting is as follows. We've been speaking since we, a long time ago in ancient history, since we began learning together this Perek Habona, we've been speaking about the difference between Binyan B'Karka and Binyan B'Kelam. And we have a rule that ain't Binyan B'Kelam, no? As Nishama Tasha Ela, in our Gemara, I understand approach one, that I'm making a hole in the ground to stick my coins in, or to stick my needle in, and saying that's Binyan B'Karka. Gotcha. But approaches two and three, when I have like the tripod to hold the pot, and I have the beam that gets a hole in it, that I pour lead in it, isn't that Binyan B'Kelam rather than Binyan B'Karka? That's the question that the Rishonim are bothered by. So the Ritva addresses this question, right? And the Ritva writes, and maybe, right, Adina and Elisheva asked me they have to read the Gemara onwards to understand the Ritva. The answer probably is yes. Although, this line in the Ritva, I think we can get anyway. Ritva basically says, you know what? Our Gemara only makes sense according to those Rishonim that you are chayiv on Binyan B'Kelam if it's a significant type of kelim. There's going to be, and we'll see this later on, the fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the Tosis. Rashi holds that ain Binyan B'Kelam is a categorical statement. There is no such thing as Binyan B'Kelam. End of conversation. The Balei Tosis say, no, no, no. If you make a real keli, significant action, you build a keli, that's chayiv on Shabbos. Says the Ritva, an extension on that Tosis, that if I build a keli, it's chayiv, that any significant improvement in the keli is also going to be chayiv. And when I say that ain binyan b'kelam is just something that's insignificant, so if I have a hole in my beam and I pour lead into it to stuff that hole up, that's a significant improvement, and I'm chayiv. That's what the Ritva says. That's interesting already. But it's less interesting than the Me'iri. Right? That Ritva, like kind of putting your pipe, smoke it, right? I don't give you permission to inhale, but like Bill Clinton, whatever. So, there used to be a president, this right before some of you were born, no? But that's the yisod of the Ritva. The Me'iri, however, has a different mahalach. The Me'iri says that these things are considered bona b'karka, not binyan b'kelam. And he understands that the krushim, the beams of the Mishkan, so right now it's not attached. But I make the krushim in order to attach it in the ground. No? They stick the krushim into the adonim. The adonim are very heavy. The Gemara considers that binyan b'karka. the tripod that I put on the to hold the stove. I'm going to stoop it. I'm going to stick it into the dirt in the ground. So it's considered being in the karka because the intention is to leave it on karka. That's already a very big shas sugya called tolosh ol basof chibro. And there are many dinim in halacha where there's a difference between stuff that's attached and stuff that's detached. No? For example, Eloheihem al hehorim, right? Velo hehorim Eloheihem. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Vav says that there are two dinim of Avodah Zarah. There's a type of Avodah Zarah that means that if I worship Avodah Zarah, I get put to death. There are other dinim called the Cheftza of Avodah Zarah. No? And Avodah Zarah object has to be destroyed. Actually, just today, I got a shayla that someone told me that his grandfather, 37 years ago, was on a trip in India, and he bought some bronze sculpture, and the bronze sculpture, he wanted to know, his grandfather died, and now like they bring it to his house, and he wants to know, is this Avodah Zarah? He sends me a shayla today. So I take the picture, I send it. There's a guy, the real expert in Near Eastern religions, is a fellow, Lee Weissman, in Irvine, California. He used to be, whatever, he studied Near Eastern religions. He's a professor in Near Eastern religions in some college in Irvine. Now he's a frum guy. That's why he was the fellow who they brought in to deal with the question. Remember years ago, it was a question about whether all the shaitels are Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
So he was the guy who they brought in because he like understands like Near Eastern religion. So I send him these pictures. So he tells me like three of them are Avodah Zarahs. The one where they're holding the... There's a bunch of these things. The one where they're holding the bow and arrow is an Avodah Zarah. The bronze one is an Avodah Zarah. The other ones are just decorative pieces. So the din is, if something's a chepzav Avodah Zarah, you have to destroy it. However, the Gemara tells me, Avodah Zarah daf mem vav, Eloheihem al haharim, the Avodah Zarah is on the mountain, v'lo haharim Eloheihem. Something that is mechubar lekarka can't become a chefza of Avodah Zarah. If I bow down to a mountain, the mountain, right, there's no mitzvah to then go and destroy the mountain. Right? Lo haharim Eloheihem. What about, the Gemara discusses, tolo shul basof chibro. Let's say I bow down to a tree that's not yet attached to the ground, then I'll plant the tree in the ground. Does that tree become asur as an asheva? No? That's a discussion in the Gemara, Talosh Basov Chibro. There's many areas of halacha we have a discussion of Talosh Basov Chibro. What you get the impression from this, and there's a steer in the Rambam, so the Talosh Basov Chibro is considered, Talosh is considered Mechubar. This Me'iri over here in Shabbos Kuf Beis is taking a stand, and he's saying that Talosh Basov Chibro for Shabbos purposes is considered Mechubar Lakarka, and therefore I'm going to be Chayiv on Bona on Shabbos. Okay, ladies, have a good night. Have a good Shabbos. Read this Chassam Sefer, Semen Ayin Beis. You'll have a lot of fun with it. It's really great. And don't do Avodah Zarah.